The Chris Perullo Show's coverage of Search Engine Strategy San Jose was brought to you by MSN Search. Find something today at search.msn.com.
There are a few websites around that are still around that know what they're talking about and know what they're writing about, and ClickZ is one of them. Most internet marketers have heard of ClickZ and have read one or two articles within the past 5 minutes from that website, as it seems to produce content on a semi-regular basis. And one of the individuals here at SES in San Jose, 2005, is Rebecca Lieb. And I'm curious, Rebecca, after recently now being acquired, are you maintaining the same title? What is it this week?
This week it's executive editor, and our mantra is supposed to be business as usual, so I don't see anything changing, including my title, anytime soon.
Now, does that allow you certain freedoms in terms of, do you get to write stuff as well as edit stuff?
I write a biweekly column in ClickZ about whatever I want to write about, providing it's within certain parameters, the internet and interactive marketing and advertising, which can be a pretty broad field.
So you wouldn't necessarily go out on a limb and write something about spicy Thai food?
No, but I'm sure I could work it in if I really wanted to.
Are you a connoisseur of spicy Thai food?
I am absolutely a connoisseur of spicy Thai food. I went on the open mouth tour of Thailand this year.
And how did that work out?
It worked out extraordinarily well, and my friend and I are planning on revisiting that experience in Laos later this year.
Well, it seems that, speaking of spice and spicy, ClickZ always has to have an edge to their articles, and they're always very well written, very compact, very clean. What do you think is in the sauce that makes ClickZ as popular as it is?
Well, number one, I appreciate your saying so, Chris, because I know you've taken issue with a couple of things that we've written in the past. ClickZ has a number of sections, and we like to think that our news section is just that. It's our news section. It's journalistically very straightforward, just the facts, ma'am. But editorially, we're primarily known for our expert section, in which we have people who are not journalists but actual practitioners writing about the areas of internet marketing that they practice. And these are certainly not reportage. They're opinion columns by, we hope, very opinionated people. And we encourage them to be passionate and opinionated. This sparks reaction and passion in our readers, which is really the whole point, isn't it? I know that we've written things that you've disagreed with and, you know, hopped up and down about a couple of times. But that's really the issue, is to put together a publication that's not, it's about the user, kumbaya, you know, let's think about the user and we'll all do fabulous business. We all know it goes beyond that. We all know it changes a lot. And bottom line, we want to help people who are doing this do their jobs better, but there's no single answer to that.
If I'm not mistaken, you were around close to the very beginning of ClickZ. Is that correct?
Actually, no. ClickZ was founded by Andy Borland and Ann Hanley just over 8 years ago. I was hired to take over ClickZ when it was taken over by Jupiter Media, or acquired by Jupiter Media, in the year 2000. I realized, having just passed our 8th anniversary mark, though, that I have actually run ClickZ longer than its very august founders did, both of whom I'm proud to say, despite my stewardship, are still personal friends.
So was there some type of sour grapes going on?
I don't think that there's sour grapes, but I think that there's some perfectly expected wariness when your baby is handed over to an adoptive parent. I would be freaked out, and they were freaked out. And, you know, I was paid a very high compliment recently by Andy Borland. You know, it's a little boastful, but he said, I think ClickZ is better now than it was when we were running it. I'd like to take credit for some of that. I also think it's a much more mature industry with a lot more to write and say, that's a little more concrete, a little bit more applicable to real life and real life case scenarios than it was a few years ago. But I've made it a really conscious point to keep the thread of ClickZ's origins going. I still have 5 or 6 of ClickZ's original writers writing for ClickZ. I think it's very important that people are identified with the brand. And that's what columns are, after all.
You made mention that you try to find practitioners. What's the process that you identify the people who are leaders or at least active in these specific spaces that you would want to write about?
It works two ways. Sometimes people approach me. Sometimes I have a need and go off looking for people. You do this the way you're looking for anybody you're trying to hire. You network and you ask around who would be the best for this job. But a column is never anything I hand to people. I make them work for it. And the reason I make them work for it is because ClickZ never publishes one-off articles. We only have long-term relationships with our contributors, and that's a commitment. And if we're going to run your column every Tuesday, we need your column every Tuesday. So we do have a few processes in place to make sure people are really committed and understand the idea of writing a column and not, you know, as we call it around the office, a few minutes with Andy Rooney, where somebody wants to say, well, what really bothers me about XYZ is, and they've said their piece, and then they've got a lot of Tuesdays in front of them. Another thing that I think makes a difference with us is we consider this an editorial relationship. We certainly deal with publicists and other aspects of our editorial mission. In terms of the expert columns, we don't. If I'm contacted by a publicist who says my client would love to write for you, I say, I'd love to hear from your client. We don't have middlemen in the process because I think that would dilute it.
And how many regular contributors do you have, if you would call them that?
It varies, but at any given time, probably about 35. Some of our columns are split between two contributors, which I think can liven things up. We do that because some people have a lot to say but really can't take on the responsibility of writing weekly, so a weekly column will be alternate between person A and person B every other week. But that also keeps the dialogue a little spicier. People can riff off each other just so long as they don't do that Saturday Night Live thing, you know, Jane, you ignorant slut. It also keeps the readers more involved, and our columnists get a lot of ideas and a lot of input from reader email, positive and negative.
So on a weekly basis, you would push out over 20 unique articles?
Yeah, we do 3 to 4 columns a day. And that's just the columns. We do 5 or 6 news stories a day. And you want a bit of breaking news? Next week, we're going to launch a blog on ClickZ.
So is it your own URL? I see. So a blog from ClickZ. Now, is that going to be comprised or, I guess, directed or created by your contributing writers?
The blog is going to be written by the editorial staff. It's going to be a group blog. We might at some point, and we'll see if there's interest or desire or a place for this, see if some of our contributors are interested in weighing in. Basically, the blog is a section intended to address, I don't know if it's still their motto, but years ago the National Lampoon had a motto, All the News That Fits, which was riffed on the New York Times. All the news doesn't fit in ClickZ anymore. This industry has picked up so much that we can't scale to cover it given our staff and given the hours that there are in a day. And there are a lot of stories that we would like to write, and we can't cover them as per our editorial standards in our news section. Always go to the original source. Never write something just off a press release. Verify the rumor and, you know, spell check and write in proper outline forms. So we've been experimenting with this. The blog is actually running. It's just not publicly viewable yet. And we have to sit down every morning and have our story meeting and figure out what we can cover. And it's been sometimes heartbreaking to say, well, we just can't get to that one. Now we can say, but we can blog it. So it's a new way of getting news to our audience, being a little more informal or just getting something down for the record, sometimes being a little funny or amusing. We'll see how it works.
Is Google still talking to you?
Google is still talking to me. I'll know for certain this evening at the party, but interesting that that's why they embargoed CNET, because CNET, they imposed an embargo on CNET because CNET is known to break news embargoes. I didn't realize it would really occur over privacy.
It's kind of ironic they wouldn't want people to use Google in a certain respect or to publish how they used Google. Do you have a certain take on that personally or professionally, how that all went down?
I haven't given it a great deal of thought, mostly because I've been in the process of watching my company be acquired over the last few days. So, you know, gee, I've got to be excused for thinking about other things. I think in a sense it's useful because it's calling attention to the issue of privacy, which I think needs attention called to. Whether or not Google's right, Schmidt's right, CNET's right, I think is open to endless debate, and I don't think will ever ultimately be settled. It does raise a lot of serious questions, and perhaps in the provocative way that will encourage people to discuss them and think about them.
With this acquisition, you're maintaining your title, you're maintaining your position, at least that we know of, and in getting acquired, especially on this kind of level, what kind of things would you hope to grow from a grassroots level or even on a corporate level within the ClickZ brand?
Well, when I took over ClickZ and I was, you know, viewed sideways by more than one person because who the hell was I anyway, I sent all the writers an email and I said, if it ain't broke, I ain't going to fix it. And, you know, I like to think that I was fairly true to that. And I think, you know, having half a dozen of the original columnists still with ClickZ is a testament to that. And, you know, you lose people by attrition anyway. I sent them the same email, in effect, last Friday when I learned about the acquisition. It was made very clear to us by our new owners, who I don't know well yet, but I know them, that they bought us because they liked us, not because they thought we were broke and they wanted to fix it. There's only one thing, personally speaking, that I've missed from my old non-interactive career in running ClickZ, and that's that my background was in global marketing and global journalism. I brought media brands across borders in print and in film and in television. And, you know, I speak five languages. I lived in Europe for 10 years. I'd like to start doing stuff like that again, and that's the stated goal of our new owners. So that's the part that I'm really excited about, is maybe doing ClickZ Germany, ClickZ Italy, a ClickZ product that only addresses, I don't know, the pharmaceutical industries or automotive, all of which are developing their own forms of interactive advertising and marketing and best practices. And I think, you know, we could start going very vertical with this and very geo-focused, much in the same way that Search Engine Strategies has gone from country to country. So right now, I only see good stuff happening.
You've been doing this, if I could use that word in quotes, this, for quite a while, long before ClickZ, and you spoke to Transcending Borders. What were some of the projects you were involved in before we knew you as the person from ClickZ?
I've always been a journalist, and sometimes I was a marketer too. I started my career doing marketing and publicity for independent and foreign films, also known as art films. I'm really old, so my clients were Miramax before it was owned by Disney, New Line before it was owned by Turner. So that that's something that would I still want to do it? It would be rather difficult to do. I moved to Europe for several years, and I was Variety's bureau chief in Berlin when the wall came down, which made me bureau chief by default for the entire East Bloc. I didn't know anything about it, but neither did anybody else, which was kind of an advantage. I rapidly became an expert. From there, I was doing global television marketing, first for one of the largest private non-U.S. broadcasters, RTL Television, helping them break into the U.S. And then I worked for USA Networks and the Sci-Fi Channel. We were eventually acquired by Universal Television. And I was bringing those stations global into the U.K., Latin America, Asia. So I think it's very cool to take a brand like Sci-Fi, take it all over the world and find out sci-fi means sci-fi in Asia, in Scandinavia, in Brazil, and then you take it to Italy and they look at the logo and they look at it and they squint and they go, skiing and Formula One racing, and you got yourself a problem, but a really interesting one.
In the future, what do you see yourself doing?
Whatever it is, it's going to be interactive. I've worked in other media. I'm a media person, but I couldn't go back to an old media diet.
In an old media diet consisting of traditional television, traditional print?
I think television is an interesting business, but I didn't watch TV when I worked in TV. So now that I don't work in it and watch it anymore, I sometimes forget that it's there. One thing that I think is interesting is watching these businesses I used to work with and in realize that, you know, we got to get serious about this. And if I wasn't doing what I was doing, which I can aim to continue doing for the foreseeable future, I think it would be really cool to go back to where I came from and help them get to where I am now in terms of interactivity and getting with the program.
What do you think it's going to take to get them to wake up and realize that there's this whole new galaxy of stuff that's happening outside their traditional walls?
When their money is there and when their customers are there, they don't have a choice anymore.
Isn't that kind of already happening? Or are we seeing a whole bunch of smoke and mirrors with these traditional publishers at this point?
No, this is really happening, and they're really scared, and this is where it gets interesting.
Okay, interesting how?
Interesting in that change is being forced upon them, and change is always interesting. I think in this case it's going to be good. It isn't always good. There was an interesting article today in the New York Times, which I only skimmed regretfully because I didn't know we were going to be discussing this, about how Hollywood's old guard doesn't have the power that it has. You know, three guys can't have lunch at the Beverly Hills Hotel and decide what everybody in America is going to watch on TV tonight. It doesn't work like that anymore. This is interesting because it gives people the power to compete with the programmers, and that's often much more interesting programming. And, you know, as somebody with a business model like yours knows, is perfectly monetizable. The playing field is so different.
And I'm very happy because of that. I don't know if we're necessarily going to be acquired. I don't know if I want my name acquired. That'd be kind of a scary proposition. Maybe I have to add a Z to the end of it, and that way the Perillo Z. No, that doesn't work. But there are plenty of opportunities for independent publishers to steal the thunder, as it were, from the big media conglomerates. Where do you see ClickZ in that? Do you see yourself as part of a bigger brand? Do you see yourself as someone big as a traditional publisher in terms of your weight, in terms of your pull, or do you see yourself more as an independent still?
I see us as an independent and as an independent with the inside track. I was speaking today with an editor of one of the leading financial newspapers on the planet. You can guess which of the two that it might have been. And they called me to say that they were interviewing Kelly at AOL, and what should they ask? It would be really interesting to know if the consumers of the mainstream media knew that the editors that they're relying on for the really hardcore inside information in this industry are coming to us to find out what they should ask. Now, it is harder for me to score that interview with Kelly than it is for him, but when he does, he calls me to ask what questions to ask. These are some new rules of the game, too, and it's a new balance of power, and it's going to be interesting to see how that shakes out, too. I'm not entirely certain how it will.
Isn't that the way it always has been, in a way, that the people who seemingly don't know as much are in positions where they have more control than the people who do know what's going on?
I was talking to a friend of mine the other day who publishes a couple of blogs in the interactive marketing and advertising space, and he was talking about how he's going up against Adweek, Media Week, and Brand Week, and he said, you know what my competitive advantage is? They don't know I exist. And he's right, and that's a really interesting observation. And this is one guy and a couple of freelancers who really could take these other guys, these mainstream media guys, to the mat. I teach an interactive publishing course at NYU to graduate students, and I like to stress this. You can get a blog, and if you've got the talent and the motivation and the $10 to license the software, you can run a website that 10 years ago, Business 2.0 or industry standard spent $1 million developing, and you can take on Goliath. It is so cool to watch this. I maybe should try getting rich off of it, but my background is film. I like to watch.
So you're a voyeur of sorts.
Absolutely.
An industry voyeur. That's a good title,
I
think.
That's what journalists are, aren't they?
But do you consider yourself a journalist, or is it something more than that?
I consider myself, and this is why I think I'm particularly good for ClickZ, I'm a journalist with practical experience. I have been a VP of marketing, so I know whereof I speak and write more than perhaps a journalist who hasn't been, who's covering the industry.
Fair enough. Well, you're a little more than a footnote in the book of marketing.
Well, thanks very much for saying so. So are you.
This interview brought to you by the all-new MSN Search. Find something today at search.msn.com. Visit thechrisparulloshow.com for more audio downloads, and remember to tune in every Thursday night for our live show.